Backseat Producers, episode 268, Seventh Psychopaths.
Okay.
All those movies at once.
That sounds like a good podcast. All next 20 minutes.
All next week.
Four minutes of film. Excellent.
Wait, hold on. Is that the order we're doing them in?
Unless you have another suggested order.
No, that's fine.
Is it alphabetical?
No, it was just the order I wrote them down in.
The first two were alphabetical. I didn't remember the rest.
The first three are alphabetical, then it starts over, and the next two are alphabetical.
Oh, Cloud Atlas, if it's out.
I'm so glad to see that. I've not seen it yet.
That was not one of the nominees, so that's why I made this list. Mm-hmm.
But it should have been. I knew that from the trailer. I would have nominated the trailer for Best Picture.
Have you not seen it?
No, I'm psyched, man. I want to see it.
That was a damn good trailer.
It was like a minute 30 or 2 minutes long, the one I saw.
The movie's like 3 hours long.
Is it?
And plus we got a whole bunch of new ones here coming out.
So fired up, man. Yeah,
the trailer's like a mini movie.
And it's probably just in the May alone,
we've got three.
This will take us through. This will
and take Ninja us Assassin. The one of the most underrated movies of all time.
Hey, did you know?
And we can fill in with the new stuff coming in there, too.
This woman sued Iron Man, like Star Trek, Man of Steel.
They're all coming out. $1 billion
because they ripped off the Matrix story, like from her, like Warner Brothers, like deliberately edited the movie to remove elements that referenced her book, and like there's a bunch of memos where they're like, oh yeah, we stole this from this woman and we gotta cut this stuff out because it's too close.
Well, that's pretty obvious, I suppose. I suppose then she had a case. She got some smoking gun stuff like that. Then that is what it is. And $1 billion is probably not a bad settlement.
Or
did she just outright win?
She got that, and she got something else, too. It was those and some other trilogy of movies. I cannot for the life of me remember. Though, to be fair, this article looked really sketchy.
You know, The Matrix, as good as it is, and it is really good, doesn't necessarily do anything that other movies haven't done. It's the one story. I mean, I wouldn't think there'd be any elements of it that would be rip-offable, although maybe at the time that virtual reality thing was, you know, no one had played that angle yet, I guess. Now it feels like everyone does that. Like Inception. Couldn't you say Inception, like, ripped off The Matrix? I mean, you could say anything ripped off anything away.
That'd be kind of a stretch, though.
Really?
Yeah. I can see The Matrix as being innovative in that it specifically referenced, like, the science behind it. Like, the world is not real because it's not real, and this is why it's not real.
You mean like the exact storyline behind that? Mm-hmm. Like the rules?
Right, yeah. Like
I'd say it was innovative because it mixed so many genres and actually pulled it off pretty well.
Kung Fu films.
Yep. Carrie Ann Moss, some tight leather.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue that
Lawrence Fishburne
pacing and everything else was, is it? I mean,
Joey Pants? I mean, come on.
Lawrence Fishburne in tight leather in the third one when he gained 40 pounds. That's what we all liked.
The real world is not kind. Whatever that, like, bean curd shit they're eating all the time. Very high carbs.
I would argue that The Matrix made it possible for the Crouching Tiger stuff to gain popularity here in America. I would argue, you know, if...
Yeah, magical realism finally had a toehold.
Because if those guys, the Wachowskis, didn't see Fist of Legend and go to whatever that guy's name is who did Crouching Tiger and be like, we want you to do our movie, then he wouldn't have had any avenue to make an American movie here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. It's just
Well, also, it also prepared the audience that you could actually blend martial arts, science fiction,
right,
a Western, and a mystery all into one nice neat package.
Yeah.
Clearly nobody here has ever seen Star Trek. It melds all of these elements seamlessly in every episode.
I remember the kung fu in Star Trek.
Riker's a cowboy.
A steel horse he rides.
Isn't there one where they start off on like a ship or something?
Pirate ship?
Yeah.
Insurrection?
Yeah,
that's Insurrection. Is that what it is? I just remember watching the beginning of this, and I'm like, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I can watch a whole movie of this.
But you did!
That was ripped off of the X-Men's Danger Room.
Oh, that's not Insurrection. That's First Contact.
Everything's always ripped off.
Let's face it, there's only so many.
The Pirate Ship First Contact? I did see that whole movie.
Because Data was there. He's not there in the beginning of Insurrection because he's on the planet, and that's where he goes crazy. That's why they have to go get him.
Oh. Yeah, I hate the, oh, there's nothing new in Hollywood argument. You know what? There's nothing new anywhere.
There isn't.
It's all rehashed.
Here's the thing. Humanity matters.
What you're writing right now, Tony.
Fuck yeah. 16,000. I just cracked 16,000 words.
Humanity is just waiting around.
Chapter 5 is done.
The scary thing about that is, it sounds like you're nowhere close to being done, which means your book is probably going to be like twice the size of mine.
It's going to be kind of frightening. I don't know. I'm on pace to probably hit about 80,000 to 90,000.
Just insert an awkward sex scene.
Oh, I did. Actually,
there is actually one. Yeah,
do it again.
Can't go wrong.
Listen, people then were bored.
Yeah,
set it in winter.
I do have an awkward interracial sex scene.
Set it in winter. The peasantry has nothing to do, so they sit around and do whatever.
Awkward
sex scenes. Yeah,
keep it warm.
Non-stop.
Awkward sex scenes.
True. They did it. Did they have chess at that point?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
The 1100s. Yeah. Or for us, it would be the 1200s. Yeah, I guess they did.
Did they do most of the time?
I think most of the time they worked and hated their lives.
Not during the winter.
It's just a guess.
Nothing during the winter. Just hanging out. Bored.
Lots of September
bursts. Let me freshen up that mead for you there.
Mead, yeah. They drank a lot of mead. I was reading how they didn't really have any caffeinated drinks of any kind. No, so they would start off with a hopped spice drink in the morning that just was less alcoholic than the rest of the drinks they had all day. And they didn't drink water because it was no good.
Water was purifying. Poison, yeah.
Right. I mean, so basically all they did was drink beer all day.
For half my characters, that's accurate.
All this week on NPR, they've been talking about coffee, and they brought up one little interesting tidbit. It says, until coffee got into Europe, since sometime around 1500, humanity sobered up.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
as soon as coffee and chocolate came into Europe,
drank beer all the time.
It was the only thing safe.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was the only analgesic too.
Fun fact: since you're not on Facebook, you didn't see this. I learned yesterday.
Obama is taking your guns.
Well, that too.
What?
That the people of Nottingham are not called Nottinghammers, which I think would be a much cooler thing to call them. They are Nottinghamians.
Nottinghamians?
That is the worst.
That is the worst. Actually,
just change it.
I was like, I
needed
to write.
You didn't put this on Google Plus? You had decided to put it on Facebook?
Yes, I can see the t-shirt. Nottinghamian and proud.
Yeah, because I needed a reference people of Nottingham, but I didn't want to say people of Nottingham. So I started typing Nottingham. I don't know what the proper suffix is. Here, so actually type Nottinghammers, which I thought was actually
that's cool.
That's
the soccer team.
Yeah. So then I had to do some Google searches.
Nottinghammers.
The Nottinghammers, yeah.
You do need a sports team called that somewhere.
That would.
Then you can interject an awkward one-on-one sports battle of some kind. I'm writing your. Why didn't you write this down?
This is solid stuff.
I'm recording it.
It's gold. Over here spinning you a tale of pure gold.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
This is Tony.
This is David.
We're the Backseat Producers.
Man, I am tired, Tony.
Hey, you know what? I thought of something about Skyfall a couple days ago. All right. So we talked
about.
Is that
Adele is weirdly hot?
There's nothing weird about that. She just is.
She's hot. She kind of has a weird face, though.
It's the makeup.
Turn out the lights.
It's the makeup.
It's the makeup and the hair extensions.
They do something weird with her makeup, like they're trying to make her look thinner with the makeup, but it's not working. They should just go with it.
Just go with it. She's a pretty girl. She doesn't need it.
Yeah, just go with it.
So we were talking about how in the beginning, M like throws Javier Bardem's character under the bus, and then she's got to pay for those sins, etc.
Sure.
The thing is the her move throughout the whole movie is throwing people under the bus.
Yeah, true.
And we didn't talk about that because I didn't think about it until later on. Throughout the whole movie, all she does is throw people under the bus. First, it's Javier Bardem, which happens off screen, and then she just keeps throwing Bond under the bus at every turn.
That's what her job is, and that's what his job is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he accepted it. Bardem couldn't accept the fact that she did it. Bond was just a bigger man, so he accepted the fact that she was just using him and throwing him away.
Right. He understands the job. It's interesting, though, he also throws people away, too, but not in the same way. But that's the world. Not only that, he doesn't stop that guy from killing that dude in China. And then he doesn't stop Javier Bardem from killing the girl, either.
Right.
So it's just like, people are expendable. You know?
What was interesting was the way that movie went, they were almost setting it up that Bond would take over for M. I could almost see a version of the script where Bond was taking over for M because he was doing the same things that she was. She was just doing them on a bigger scale.
Yeah, why don't we have Voldemort? That's better.
No, it is better.
Good movie. Hey, Tony, why don't you
so good, it took up two podcasts.
Yeah, so...
Next week.
Next week, we got... we're going to do Life of Pi next week. But at some point in the next month and a half, we're probably also going to be doing Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, Beast of the Southern...
Silver Linings Playbook.
No, it didn't.
Did we talk about doing
it? No.
Oh, God, all right, continue.
Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, and Cloud Atlas.
Are you sure we didn't talk about Silver Linings Playbook first?
No, we talked about talking about it.
Yeah.
And we talked about it probably for about 10 minutes.
Man, this sucks. I hate this.
we also got an email this week from Neil Dalton, who's on he's on Twitter.
I know who he is.
He sent an email and said that he and some of his friends watched Defiance.
Yes.
And they made a connection between the two warring families and the Centauri and Narn from Babylon 5. So
I bet those are things.
They are. And if you've seen Babylon 5, you know what they are.
Allegedly, there is a Hollows reference in the show as well. Is there a demon under the arch?
Maybe.
I bet there's going to be a demon under the arch.
Probably.
That's what I'd do. If there wasn't, I'd summon one.
If you really want to think back to two warring families or to throw back to Shakespeare, the Capulets and the Montagues.
True.
Yeah, and they flat out did that in the pilot, too. Mm-hmm. They had the son of the one family and the daughter of the other getting together.
Mm-hmm. Probably Dig Dug ones.
Well, they did when they're in that lady
pumping
show.
The hose into the snake, pumping it up.
Pump it.
All right.
Minecraft reference, too.
Pump an egg in Minecraft.
No, but they dig. So, you know, those miners, they're digging for, you know, gold, diamonds, iron. They'll run into golems.
It's a tough world.
There's zombies.
Golems are only in the Nether.
So they're doing it Minecraft style.
Also, they're with a pigment.
Mm-hmm.
You kill them.
Sometimes when you're business in the middle of a conversation, you're happy you don't understand what's going on.
I'm lost. I'm just nodding. I know you're even more lost than me.
Minecraft is the ultimate expression.
Like an Anchorman when he's like, I love desk. And everyone's just going, yeah. I have no idea what's going on.
All right, that was all the business stuff I had.
Can we get on to this racist movie now?
Let's talk about it.
Yes, great.
What do you think about it? It was all right. Don't make that face.
I liked the ending.
Yeah, that ending was great.
The ending was great. It was weird, but kind of cool. I liked...
the ending was weird?
No, the movie was weird. The movie was weird in general.
Just can't count?
Yeah. 1 and 7. That was actually a pretty good reveal. I like that.
I thought this movie was hilarious.
And there were a whole lot more than 7.
Yeah.
Like, everybody in this movie was psychotic in some way.
I thought this movie was hilarious. And in the first 20 minutes, I wasn't sure if I even liked it.
But yeah.
Man, it got good really fast. And it didn't look back.
It just kept getting better.
Yeah. So,
Daryl, what do you think?
Sometimes I don't know what to think of this movie. It was kind of like, this is the most fucked up thing I've seen in a while. And I kind of like it because it is kind of fucked up. And And nothing goes on that you expect to happen. It defies convention of everything. I mean, it took every trope and just threw it 90 degrees. And especially the ending. Now, that was... I did not expect that at all. I mean, after the most of the principals get wiped out, and he's the only one left standing, and then, you know, oh, yeah, the guy in the middle of the movie, we forgot all about him.
I didn't forget about him.
What'd you think?
I liked it a lot. That last 15 minutes was really what hooked me. The rest of the movie was good, but that last 15 minutes, goddamn it, was glued to the screen, riveted, could not look away. Yeah. Every time you get the walk-in monologuing, it's a recipe for success.
Now, walk-in really surprised me in this movie. I've seen him in others movies, and he always plays a heavy, and he always plays Christopher Walken heavy. This was completely different. This is actually a Christopher Walken who acted and actually did a really good job of it.
Are you implying that he doesn't always do a good job?
Well, the problem is with him, he's always cast in roles that are so Christopher Walken. You know, you expect him to be stereotyped into this particular role, and you're really surprised when he doesn't do it.
What is the Walken stereotype?
Like Nicolas Cage.
Kind of like when he talks like this.
Yeah, all right. Would you say that Batman Returns is the Christopher Walken stereotype?
And by the way, Bruce Wayne, why are you dressed like Batman?
Christopher Walken has joined us this evening.
I liked all the little reveals in this movie. Like, they tell you the story of the Amish dude, and then he is the Amish dude.
That was awesome, too.
That was great.
That was the moment where...
Don't tell the story. Don't tell the story.
Don't tell the story. Don't tell the story. No, no. The is like this.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell the story.
And he's doing this.
He's doing the slice the throat.
Cut, yeah, don't cut, yeah. Cut.
That was the moment when everything started to come together for me. When he took off his cravat, I was suddenly like, "Oh, this movie just got really good." Yeah. And then I think I got it at that point, and it just started rolling.
The thing about it is they draw attention to it like 2 minutes earlier when he's sitting in the hospital.
Yeah, and you don't notice it.
He's about to pull it off, and he's like, "Do you want my cravat?" The guy's like, "No."
He actually takes it off and tries to hand it to him.
Yeah, well, that's the point where I saw it.
Oh, you noticed it there? I didn't notice it there. I didn't notice it until he was telling the story.
That was where I went, oh, this
I was watching it on a screen this big, so I didn't see it then.
Okay, well, that would be hard to see. Yeah. You probably didn't even see the shit scene then.
Barely.
The shit suit, the fan, yeah.
Is that what that blob, is that what that white blob was?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. Dropping the shit suit.
What is he said something like, "I don't lose my shit, but the shit suit." He said to that girl. That was great when he throws the car at her and blows her away. And then they do the Psychopath number 7 and 1. I was like, oh my god, that's great too. That's the part where I started laughing out loud, which I did a lot in this movie, which I don't usually laugh out loud. It's an audience of one, but
because then you seem crazy
a lot. Yeah, I thought it was funny.
So. The number of actors in this movie who were great, long. Woody Harrelson was great. Sam Rockwell is always great.
Sam Rockwell was a fantastic, crazy guy.
Yes.
Again.
He was... Yeah,
he was even more off the reservation than he normally is. Like, sometimes he plays like a subdued crazy. Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
He was gone.
My favorite scene was where he was... Where they're sitting around at night, and he's telling them the story about how it could go in the
graveyard.
That was hilarious.
Oh my god! That whole sequence was fantastic.
What is he wearing on his head? He's wearing like some kind of like
that little stuff. It's one of those animal caps.
Yeah,
that you see on a 10-year-old girl.
Yes.
Yeah,
and he's. He's wearing it, and you know this after the last scene I think you've seen him in is where he did kill that girl. And then I guess he's in Colin Farrell's apartment. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And then somehow he gets them to all go. And then when he's in, it's such a surreal scene because you're kind of like, hate this guy. Because you're not far enough into the movie yet where you realize how ridiculous it is. And then all of a sudden he just starts telling that story. And it's just like, this is... Unbelievable. It is unbelievable. It was was funny.
Yeah, all the reveals that pops in, like, oh, I'm just doing this because you have a writer's block. I'm going to get right. you past it. Oh, thanks. You know, like, best friend ever, or like, total crazy.
Yeah, well, the thing that I thought was funny was how the entire time in his fantasy, he's referring to himself as the Jack of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm. Jack O' Diamonds.
Jack O' Diamonds. But no one else is picking up on it. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
So, what else, man? There's a lot of great moments. Tom Waits was good.
Now, I did not recognize until the credits went by. Like, hold on. Tom Waits, the singer?
Yeah.
Ah, that Tom Waits. My God. He's like,
wow. Like a ghoul.
Yeah. He's the Bagul.
And somehow they got him to look 30 years younger for those flashback scenes. Yeah, that was pretty impressive. Yeah, I know.
Now, the other thing was, he didn't have the voice. It sounds like he's been gargling with gravel for a week.
Yeah, he kind of
took the tenor up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he spoke higher and stuff. Yeah. Put him and Walken in one movie. Good Lord. The average age of that movie skyrockets by 75 years. No, they didn't.
That's
probably would have ruined the movie. They would have been like, it would have been like
star power.
It would have been too much.
Yeah.
It would have been too much in the movie.
Old balls.
It would have been like,
you know, they get aggressive when they get near each other.
Is this a dialogue or a mirror scene? I can't tell. So I'm just going to skip to the next chapter.
God damn. I would watch a full movie of Walken's ending just to let
my God.
That was so good. It was goddamn good. I was like, shit, that movie is better than this movie, and I only saw like 4 minutes of that movie. And this movie I thought was pretty good. I was like, shit.
Yeah, you could take out all the movie within a movie scene and edit it together, and it would actually be pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it's because my expectations were low that I got such a kick out of it. Yeah. Seriously, I didn't go in thinking this was going to be great, and I was like rolling. So
yeah.
I just felt it was a lot better than...
I'm with you. I don't know if it's as good as I thought it was.
Yeah.
But I had a great time watching it. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it is fun. It's twisted.
And Sam Very Rockwell twisted. Is just... God,
and it can only happen in Hollywood.
Right.
The way he kept pushing Colin Farrell's buttons through the whole movie, I just expected, because the kind of person Colin Farrell is, that he would just turn around and just shoot him or beat the shit out of him.
And that
him
never happened either.
I know. And I love that it toyed with that expectation, just never paid off. And that was great.
He's always constantly writing to him about his drinking.
Yes. Like, you're drinking again?
I told you that at the party that I killed all those people. What? I must really be an alcoholic if I can't remember that. All right, I got to tell you the truth. I didn't tell you that at the party, but I just brought it up to, you know, remind you of your alcoholism. So ridiculous.
Of course you can't help it because you're Irish.
Right. You were, what does he say? You were from day one. Oh, my God.
You're a writer and Irish. And
Irish. It's a Irish. Double damn combination there.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Who else was in this?
Wow. Mickey Rourke was originally cast as Charlie, but had conflicts and was replaced by Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Wow.
It was a great choice.
I think it was a great choice having Woody in there. It would have been really twisted seeing Mickey Rourke playing that same character, loving on that dog the way Woody did. That would have made it even weirder. Yeah,
loving on the dog, man. That was approaching unnatural.
Mickey Rourke, man.
Would have been a different dynamic for sure, but...
Well, that's what he, in real life, he owns like 8 dogs. He's like in love with it. I'm in love with my dogs. I'm not famous, so no cares. But I know you do. That's the bond we share. But Mickey Rourke, Woody Harrelson, the dog thing was good. The dog thing was like a good...
It was a humanization of that character.
Not only that, but it also showed you how ridiculous the whole movie was going to be.
Yeah.
Because when you're like, really?
Yes, it did.
I'm like... He's going to kill this woman over this dog? I'm like, okay, he's a bad guy. But then the guy started just getting right weird about his dog, so...
Well, that's what happens when you have a character like that that's so hard-edged. They have to release that hard edge somewhere, so take away the one object that they really, really, really care about. They do have the... It shows them just how close to the psychological edge they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that scene with Gabourey Sidibe at the beginning where he's got the gun and he goes to shoot her and the gun just doesn't work. He's like, ah! He hands it off and he starts talking to her. She starts, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. He's like, oh, You're going to take advantage? You're going to take advantage of the fact that my gun doesn't work? Now you're going to take
advantage? That's pretty low.
Oh, yeah, dog's been getting stolen from over there. Oh, now you bring this up?
Yeah, man.
The movie does have its moments. Let's put it this way. If you're really into something that's going, if you want to see a movie that just defies all expectations and blows all the stereotypes out of the water, this is a good choice.
Yes.
You just got to stick with it for the first 20 minutes or so to get the whole plot set up.
You get a pretty good idea of how ridiculous this movie is going to be when you get those two guys at the very beginning.
Yes, yeah, having that discussion.
That weird conversation. You ever shoot a guy in the eyeball? I stabbed a guy in an ear once. Ice pick right in the fucking ear. Yeah, see, that's a different subject. That'd be ears.
Hey, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong, no. The sad thing is that I can actually see this as a conversation that we probably have already had around our gaming table.
So I watched a movie that was similar to it. Have you read John Dies at the End?
No.
So John Dies at the End, this weird trip movie opens up with a guy starts. He's like, who calls you a riddle? The riddle is this. Man tries to kill you, to kill him. All right? So you hack off his head with a hatchet. All right? You bury his body. Okay? So a couple weeks later, this weird worm thing attacks your kitchen, and you hit it with the hatchet. Well, the head of the hatchet cracks. So you take it to your local tool shop and try and, you know, kind of hide the fact that there's blood all over the hatchet, and you get the head replaced. Okay. So a couple months later after that, you get attacked by, I don't know, some sort of neo-Nazi biker group. So this time, handle the hatchet breaks as you defend yourself. And you go back to the tool shop and you get it repaired. Okay? So you're sitting in your house. 6 months later, the dude who you originally killed and then chopped off his head bursts in the door, undead zombie eyes staring you down. And he, you know, you're holding your trusty hatchet and he says, that's the hatchet that killed me! Is he right?
No. That is a good question.
The answer is actually no.
No,
because he was dead before you cut off his head with the hatchet.
And you replaced all the parts.
That's how the movie opens, and it gets weirder from there.
That's awesome.
You should watch it.
That's clever. Awesome.
It's a very B movie. It's very clever.
Yeah, that and the first time that the two of them are having a conversation, he's asking them how the movie's going. And the answer he gives is, because he says, well, how many psychopaths do you have? Well, I only have one. He's not really a psychopath. He's more of a Buddhist.
Right.
And then he says, yeah, I'm sick of all these stereotypical Hollywood murderer scumbag type psychopath movies. I don't want it to be one more film about guys with guns in their hands. I want it overall to be about love and peace. But it still has to be about these seven psychopaths. So this Buddhist psychopath, he doesn't believe in violence. I don't know what the fuck he's going to do in this movie.
There's a lot of goddamn good exchanges.
That
an eye for an eye, like the whole world blind.
No, it doesn't.
There'll be one guy left with one eye. I was the last blind guy. To take out the eye. The last guy left just took out one eye.
Gandhi was wrong.
When I saw that in the theater for the previews, I was like, damn it, now I have to see this movie. That shit was gold.
Well, what I like is right after Colin Farrell talks about that guy, his psychopath, then he brings up the idea, Rockwell brings up the idea, what about a psychopath who only kills members of the mafia?
Yeah.
And a Yakuza.
And the Yakuza.
Well, that's pretty good psychopath.
High-ranking mafia members and the Yakuza. Write that down. Yakuza. Write that down. Hey, new idea. How about we change the title from seven psychopaths to seven lesbians who are all disabled and have overcome all their special shit? Really nice to everybody, and two of them are black. How about that?
High concept.
God, I love Sam Rockwell.
He owns the movie in the last 45 minutes. So it's just like all him.
He owns the movie in every scene he's in.
He does.
And when you find out he's two of the seven psychopaths, it's just all better.
Because
you just know that at any moment, he's going to start killing more people.
Which, you know, if there's a lot that's wrong with this movie. But if there's anything structurally wrong with this movie, it would be that the setup for that is so long
you almost want to walk away, but you don't because it's so...
You got to see how the train comes out.
Yes, it's so weird. You're just there. And then once that connection is made, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, this is great. So it's pretty good.
I'm upset the Tom Waits thing didn't go anywhere. Like, I expected that to circle back around, but didn't.
Here's why I think it mattered. I think it mattered because that was the first time you met a psychopath in the movie who you were like, holy crap, I feel empathy for this weirdo, and that is messed up.
He had the weirdest, most disturbing story, but he was the least weird of all the psychopaths.
And it sets you up to empathize with the humanity and all the other psychopaths.
Wait, wasn't this after Hans' story already?
Who was Hans?
No, Christopher Walken.
Tom Waits was first, I think. Yes. Yeah. You hear Hans' story, but you don't know it's him.
Right.
Well, even then.
But that's not where you get the payoff for his like emotional. So Tom Waits the first. It's kind of like its own thing. It's just kind of drops in, and then you go for some strange reason after they murdered the Zodiac killer and broke it off. I feel really bad for this guy because he's like, oh, tell her I love her.
Yeah.
And then I'm waiting for her. And it's just like, oh, I want to give the guy a hug.
He would probably murder you.
But I'm not a serial killer. He only killed other serial killers.
Only killed other killers. Right.
I guess he's made it into your movie now.
Incidentally, obviously the Zodiac killer was a real killer. Yeah. The other two, were they historical?
I don't know.
I wanted to know that after I saw the Zodiac. I was like, oh, I wonder if the other guys are...
God damn, that movie was terrible.
Zodiac?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Mark Ruffalo in it?
Yeah, the one with Mark Ruffalo. Yeah. That was a good one.
No, F that guy.
Well, whatever about him, man. The whole movie was good. Just because he was in it doesn't make it a bad movie.
I disagree.
Mark Ruffalo was a good Hulk.
Mark Ruffalo was an acceptable Hulk. Mark Ruffalo had great chemistry with Iron Man. Tony Stark.
Don't tell him. Don't tell him.
We're coming back around to it. The train's going to get there in a second.
RDJ.
I keep thinking Richard Dean Anderson, but I know it's not MacGyver. Although he is kind of MacGyver.
Robert
Downey Jr.
There you go.
He is still kind of MacGyver, though.
Kind of. Tony Stark is kind of MacGyverish.
I could want to do Zodiac now just because you said it sucked.
It's fine.
Controversy.
Are you nervous because we're killing a chick? Yeah, look at me. I'm shaking. I had the chick killing shakes.
It was good.
Brought that gun along, buddy. I don't believe in them. In guns? You don't believe in guns? They ain't fucking leprechauns, you dumb Nick. I didn't mean to break his nose. His nose is just right in the middle of where I was punching.
So has anyone seen In Bruges?
Yes.
Did you like that?
I did. I did like In Bruges.
Have you seen it?
No, I have not. I saw the trailers for it, but I never did see the movie. It did look pretty screwed up.
It's the same director, and I think the same writer. I think he wrote and directed both of them.
That
I know the basic outline of the story.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell's in that one, too. He's fantastic in that one.
He's super great. So is Brendan Gleeson. He's awesome in that movie.
You're so good.
How do you spell this movie? What are you guys talking about?
I-N space B-R-U-G.
No, just looking.
Voldemort's in it.
I do like Voldemort. God damn, Total Recall was such a shitty movie.
I wanted to see that, too.
Yeah, it was so bad.
I'm a sucker for Philip Dick remakes, be they good or bad.
Well, you might as well stick with the Schwarzenegger one.
Really?
Martin McDonagh.
You should. The Schwarzenegger one was a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying a whole heck of a lot. I haven't seen the second still.
One. I'm saying that, yeah, Martin McDonagh wrote and directed both of those movies. I can see that connection now.
Yeah.
Totally. I can totally see that connection now.
They also remind me a lot of Lock, Stock, and Snatch, even though they're not the same people.
It's that same mentality.
Yeah.
That same vibe is definitely there.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Start with Big Boy.
Good flick.
Put it on your must watch eventually.
Yeah, must watch eventually. You don't have to go out of your way.
But you won't be disappointed with it.
No.
I can't imagine being disappointed with it, no.
Unless you can't handle tons of violence and...
There's a lot of violence, but...
and weird concepts.
Look at strange humor.
Seriously, look at the people who are in this movie. If you don't realize there's going to be a lot of violence in it, it's all there.
Yeah, it is.
God damn Minority Report. I like Minority Report.
Yeah, you would.
I would.
So next week, Life of Pi?
Next week, Life of Pi.
And then after that?
We'll make it up as we go.
Lincoln, or one of the others.
Lincoln, Silver Linings, Beast and we of still got Wild, Django, Cloud Atlas.
And we still got Iron Man, Star Trek, and Man of Steel.
We're not going to actually do Iron Man, are we? Those movies are generally not good. Yeah, that Thor trailer looks god-awful.
Did you not see my...
I saw your comment. I didn't you?
Yeah. Well, we've got a bunch to choose from in the month of May, so they're not going to be lacking. And we're coming up to the summer movie season, so we've got a whole bunch of stuff coming out.
Not even the shittiness of the Thor trailer can dull my excitement for Man of Steel. So wait,
there's a second Thor?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks so bad.
The Dark World.
Is Natalie Portman in it again?
Yes.
Yes. All our reoccurring characters.
They're bringing her to... to Asgard this time, which means...
I haven't seen the first one.
I think this means that there's going to be a disappointing lack of Kat Denning in this movie.
Is that Sif?
No. It's the friend.
Oh, yeah! And what's his face?
Oh, that guy's
Kellen
awesome.
Kellen Skarsgård.
Yes, that dude's fucking awesome.
That guy's awesome in everything he does. And have you seen his son? I mean, come on.
I've not seen his son.
Alexander Skarsgård?
No.
Eric on True Blood, you've seen
it. Like, oh, maybe I have, but...
his name.
That's how you pronounce it.
Skarsgård. You just say that because he's in those pirate movies.
No, they even got the little circle over the... Well, he's the Swedish. Over the...
Yeah, I know.
He's even got the little A thing, the thing about the A.
See Insomnia. He's awesome in that.
My mom's in Insomnia.
The original?
The original.
I don't...
It's super good.
I think I've seen that.
It's super good. He's in it. It's a Norwegian film. Yeah, Nolan's version is really good too. It's different. Mm-hmm. They're too different, really, to be. Nolan did a good job because you don't want to watch a remake that's like just remade
shot for shot.
Right. You want something that's like gonna. Why are you remaking the film? And Nolan did a good job.
What spin are you gonna put on it, or at least how are you gonna tailor it for an American audience?
Right.
Let me in and let the right one in. Mm-hmm. Those movies, you do not need to watch both of them.
Really?
Jesus Christ. They are almost like shot for shot remakes.
Yeah, but you get your pedophile fix with Chloe Moretz. That is a fact. If you got the pedo inch. God damn it.
That was still probably one of the best moments on this podcast. This is when you realized just how old she was.
That chick's a bitch because she's misleading me about her age.
This is what happens.
So how old is she now?
Well, she was born in 1997, Tony.
Well,
which makes her 16.
Still not old enough.
That makes her 16. So in 2 years, it's like grillionaires.
If she's in Illinois, she's in Illinois next year.
What?
17. 17's age of consent in Illinois.
Man.
Just can't transport her across state lines. That's where first the federal penalty.
If I can't figure out what to do with her within the confines of the state, there's a serious problem.
There's a lot of serious problems right now. Yeah. I just have to say that.
That's not one of them. Theoretically, a year from now, if I couldn't figure out what to do with it.
Well, at least we're talking theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically. Purely in the interest of science.
Oh, man.
Wow. What's most disturbing about that is just before she made Kick-Ass, she was in the animated My Friends Tigger and Pooh as the lead human character.
What's his face?
Christopher Robin was not in that.
I was going to say Robin Christopher. But then again, I don't like childish things. Pooh always seemed to be a crass joke.
You don't like childish things, but you sure seem to like them in movies. I'm just saying.
She was misleading. You see, let me in.
He is all about obfuscation.
You see, let me in.
I'm too creeped out now to see it.
She's like a 40-year-old woman. Like, she and Jennifer Connelly are kind of like the same age.
Jennifer Connelly. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Connelly.
Is she 50 now?
No. Bite your tongue.
In my mind's eye, she's always 16, 18.
Good Lord.
She's my age.
So 29.
Yeah.
All right.
That's how I feel about Michelle Trachtenberg. I thought she was so hot, and then I was like, oh, crap, is this chick too young for me? Like, Harriet the Spy? I'm like, oh, shit, is this chick too young for me? Nope, she's my age.
She's your age.
How often do you have this conversation with yourself?
So it's frequently. Okay. It's okay. If they're your age, then if you knew them at the age they were then, you were that age too, so it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Did you not see, like, seasons 5 and 6 of Buffy? 4 or 5 and 6? Whatever the season she shows up, she is so terrible. It's the worst. Man, I want to murder this chick, but also have sex with her.
So that's how we got back to the movie. Yeah.
That's the best relationship.
That's how we got back to Seven Psychopaths.
I'm all seven. Right,
so the joke here. The joke was going to be that there was going to be 3 more people here.
Don't worry, I got to cover
the show. Yeah. Adam was all 3 tonight.
Yeah.
He was 1 and 7.
I thought it was 1 and 4.
And you know what? There was one more piece of business. I'll go ahead and throw it on here at the end. With the recording of this episode, actually, 7 years ago yesterday, you and I recorded the first episode of Fanboy Smackdown.
Yay.
With the release of this, we were sitting together on a bed with a stick mic held between us.
Yeah,
that's right. That's exactly how it sounded.
Get your mouth around that.
Yeah. Psychopaths 5 and 6. Anyway, keep going.
Right up on there.
7 and 8, too.
Take it slow. Don't choke on it.
We're a dead microphone, baby.
This episode is being released on April 29th. April 30th is the 7th anniversary of the first episode of Fanboy Smackdown going live. Happy anniversary. Booyah.
Booyah. It's also the day Hitler died in history. So that's a double win for America.
You know, history. But Hitler not lives on the YouTube.
Oh, in Iron Sky?
No, on YouTube. Oh. I mean, he's commented downfall on so many that's different aspects.
Yeah, downfall is the scene they take and they like put different like
mashups. I didn't know that wasn't the name of the movie.
Oh.
That was the name of the movie. Yeah.
Watch it's a good movie too. Watch it.
What are we talking about?
Talking about the movie Downfall.
All right.
The one you mentioned.
All right. I don't know what this Iron Sky movie is.
What was the one with the Nazis on the moon or whatever?
Oh my god, that's so terrible.
It's that forgettable. We only did it like a month ago and you can't remember it.
You were here for that.
I think I recommended it.
You were one of the ones, you were the only person that had seen it before we brought it up.
Yeah, here's the problem. You guys gotta watch more movies. Otherwise we get this, where I bring a movie and then we
forget that. Next week, Laugh and Pie.
You guys are some
A week after that, pulling a Mary Todd. Good Lincoln. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Oh, well, let's compare and contrast Lincoln with Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
We could do that.
That was not the good comparison.
I would have to see both of those movies then.
I will have seen them both, and I will do it for you.
All right. You're going to be the reporter from the field on that one.
Okay. Have you heard this? Yeah, I'll just save the from Lincoln one.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn, like that country song with who's the rapper? Like Jay-Z, not Jay-Z.
Oh, the accidental racist song?
The accidental
That song is horrible.
I still haven't heard this song. I haven't heard the song, but I saw SNL making fun of it. And that was hilarious.
I thought it was
just
a joke.
It somehow contributes to more racism, even though they're trying so hard to stop.
Well, the best
just
way,
like, wow.
Well, the best way to highlight a social affliction is to satirize it mercilessly.
Well, I guess that's true. Well, I thought they were serious. I didn't get the joke.
I think it is serious.
I think it is, too. And that's terrifying.
That's worse.
When your satire turns out to be too serious.
I think I'd rather have another shooting than that. Like, seriously, like this. I don't know which one is more damaging. Some of the lines in the song are ridiculous.
They're
like,
pretty bad.
Like, don't judge my gold chains. I used to be in iron chains. Oh, God.
Yeah. That's the part where I was kind of like,
cringeworthy.
Sounds like more racism rather than less.
I'm looking up the lyrics now.
I watched the video before I left for work, Tony.
Now, who's the country singer on that one?
I don't know.
Brad Paisley.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, man.
Paisley's a weird name.
Brad, that's a country singer?
To the man that waited on me at the Starbucks down on Main, I hope you understand. When I put on that shirt, the only thing I mean to say is that I'm a Skynyrd fan. The red flag on my chest somehow is like the elephant in the corner of the South.
That's the other thing I have a problem
and
with.
And I just walked him right in the room. Just a proud rebel son with an old can of worms, looking like I got a lot to learn. But from my point of view, I'm just a white man coming to you from the Southland, trying to understand what it's like not to be proud of where I'm from, but not everything we've done. And it ain't like you and me can rewrite history. Our generation didn't start this nation. We're still picking up the pieces, walking on eggshells, fighting over yesterday, and caught between Southern pride and Southern blame.
Wow. So here's incidentally, clip this, and I'm going to put a baseline underneath it, and this will be our first beat poetry episode.
So here's the thing. You know what's really easy?
First song of the band.
You know what's really easy about not being racist?
Start off the whole thing right.
Just don't be racist. Yeah. Then you don't have a problem. Like, there's no problem then. Don't be racist. Problem solved.
Yeah, that's a
weird
song.
But what do you define as racism?
I don't know, racist stuff?
Such as?
What do you mean? Like, do you need examples? Like, if I shoot a black dude because he's black, that's racist.
No, that's a hate crime.
Isn't a hate crime racist?
Not necessarily.
Isn't a hate crime based on race racist?
What if you just shoot him because he's an asshole?
That's not a hate crime.
That's just plain crime.
All of these examples are why the song failed.
Yes.
It's that simple. If you're coming up with examples like these...
We're starting a dialogue.
...to discuss racism...
In terms
the song
of
fails.
Senseless murders. Listen, here's the thing. If you're going to murder somebody, make it senseless. Just don't make it premeditated. Don't make it racist.
Just random and senseless.
Man.
No, there was no hate involved, officer. I just felt like blowing up people today. It was just one of those days.
Well, you know, the reason...
I don't like Mondays.
Yeah.
Well, this conversation spiraled in a direction I didn't plan it.
Dear Mr. White Man, I wish you understood what the world is really like when you're living in the hood. Just because my pants are sagging doesn't mean I'm up to no good. You should try to get to know me. I really wish you would.
Do you now, really want that?
Now my chains are gold, but I'm still misunderstood. I wasn't there when Sherman's march turned the South into firewood.
Is he apologizing for Sherman burning the South?
I don't know.
Because
that's a
weird thing to apologize for just because his ancestors were slaves.
I want you to get paid, but be a slave I never could. Feel like a newfangled Django dodging invisible white hoods. So when I see that white cowboy hat, I'm thinking it's not all good. I guess we're both guilty of judging the cover, not the book. I'd love to buy you a beer, conversate, and clear the air, but I see that red flag, and I think you wish I wasn't here.
First of all, anytime you see a white cowboy hat, it's no good.
Yeah, that's nothing to do with the context. There's no element of race.
Boss Hogg taught us all that.
There's no element of race. Second off, if you saw that red flag, you can probably bet that guy doesn't wish you weren't here. He just wishes you were doing labor for him and he didn't have to pay you. That's a better assumption.
All right, so in this next stanza...
Or he just has rather poor taste in symbols.
They're clearly alternating between the singers.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, Dixieland, the relationship between the Mason-Dixon needs some fixin'.
That's great. That's
I hope you understand what this is all about. Quite frankly, I'm a black Yankee, but I've been thinking about this lately. I'm a son of the New South. The past is the past. You feel me? And I just want to make things right. Let bygones be bygones, where all that's left is Southern pride. R.I.P. Robert E. Lee, but I've got to thank Abraham Lincoln for freeing me. Know what I mean?
No.
It's real.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's real. It's truth.
Holy crap.
You should be fair.
You could probably go see Lincoln, probably. You'd do yourself a huge favor instead of listening to this song.
There's too much to unpack there.
Or you can, you know...
Man.
You can listen to Only Built for Cuban Links 2. That's a good rap album right there.
Nope, on that. That's my threshold.
You're out.
That's the limit. You cross the line now, Jace.
I started bringing up the Wu-Tang? Come on.
I'm just cold.
Man, I'm glad I'm still recording.
Oh, man.
I don't feel like we have accurately captured my distaste for racism and sexism. I don't think that we have satired hard enough.
You say hard enough.
So I was referencing my throbbing erection. We were talking about glowing rats. Pedophilia is still on the table, boys. Comedy gold mine. Like Warcraft 2. Unlimited gold in that gold mine.
That doesn't make sense.
Sure does.
That's amazing.
The economy of World of Warcraft doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, it doesn't. Everything can be purchased with golden wood or oil. I guess maybe that guy
sounds like. Sounds like the real world.
So how did we get on this topic of the accidental racism song?
Lincoln.
Lincoln. Clearly. Actually, I think it was. I think it had more to do with referencing Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer, or whatever that
Hunter.
Was.
Vampire Hunter, yeah.
Man, that movie was racist, too.
I think that's where that branched off of.
They, like, had to awkwardly... It's like, the book, there's no black people in the book. Like, so in the book...
That's not racist.
There aren't. I mean, Lincoln goes on this crusade to end slavery because the vampires are using slaves as a cheap food source. And so he goes on this crusade.
That's actually kind of clever.
So he goes on the crusade to end slavery to cut off the vampires' food source. But the movie, they couldn't have the movie where that was the plot. So they awkwardly shoehorn in a black childhood friend that he's got. He's like, I have to free you. What is happening?
Wow.
Here? This is weird. Like, a kid gets whipped early in the movie. It's like, I'm not okay with what's going on here. This is weird. I don't like it. Can't have a Lincoln movie about slaves being freed.
Actually, there was a movie made about Lincoln that had nothing to do with slavery. It's called Young Mr. Lincoln. It's got Henry Fonda, John Ford directed. It's pretty good. It's a courtroom drama.
Sounds racist. Because there's no slaves in it.
I guess you could make that argument.
Was it
Matthew was made in 1939.
Was it Matthew McConaughey's Lincoln lawyer? Was it the spiritual ancestor?
I don't think
we
so.
We should spiritual compare and contrast progenitor. Lincoln and Lincoln lawyer.
Listen, guys.
How about Lincoln and Lincoln Park?
You need to come prepared next week. Because it is going to be a smorgasbord of Lincoln comparisons.
Even though we're doing Life of Pi? That's kind of weird.
What if he has a resume on LinkedIn?
Damn it, I forgot.
It's kind of an odd thing to say.
Well, that's fine. It means we have 2 weeks to prepare.
Your homework for next week.
I'm going to drive like a Lincoln car through the front of Tony's house.
Has to do with Lincoln.
Oh my gosh. If you can't make any connection, then clearly there's something wrong with your review skills.
Listen. The Tiger's Mary Todd.
Gotta say, that makes a lot of sense. Accidental Tiger.
Accidental Tiger.
No accident, though. Oh, yes, it was.
All right, we have derailed.
Oh, yeah.
Like we were on the rails for the last 20 minutes.
Up to this point, we were pretty on focus.
To be fair, I did actually close this show about 15 minutes ago.
Okay. Well, Tony, we only had like a 30-minute episode.
You're right.
So.
There was 10 minutes of bullshit before we started.
Tony, we only produce one good thing
a year.
Show. It's bullshit. We produce it in mass quantity. High quality mass quantity.
That's true. We haven't been nominated yet for Parsec, which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Because I really want to put Daryl's... I may just nominate us just so I can do that.
Okay.
Here you go. Yeah, what's wrong with nominating ourselves?
It's classless.
That's never happened before. Right. I mean, big deal.
Everybody does it.
I've been nominated for several Parsecs, Tony. I don't know what to... I even accepted
then
an award.
Then you can nominate us.
I even accepted it. I even won somebody else's award. I accepted it.
You know what? I'm going to nominate the podcast. I think it's still eligible.
Should.
I
think it's still out.
Farewell Tour. Just nominate 200. Just nominate.
This is the podcast as a video.
It's a documentary. Truth Behind the Fiction.
That would be awesome. We should show up at Dragon Con in costume.
Yeah, the thing about that. Atlanta's a swampy ball sack.
My costume's just a hat, so yeah, I'm flying.
That's fine. You're going to wear it anyway.
When is it?
Dragon Con is Memorial Day. Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend.
Hey, you guys were like,
no.
Going to the next
month. I've never actually been. I don't plan on going.
No, so. But Trader Vic's is the only reason to go, but you can just do that anytime. Are you driving out of Florida?
Yep.
You can just stop there and go there.
That's true.
You and Julie can get drunk, have an awkward drive from Atlanta.
That'll be a bad drive from there to Orlando.
First off, it'll be like 50 then, so she can drive.
We better call it a night here.
Yep. All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Next time.
Man, I'm going to fall asleep on the drive home. It is awesome.